Good evening and welcome to E-Bible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 3 John. Tonight is study number 12. And we've been looking at 3 John verse 11, where God admonishes us not to follow evil, but to follow good. And we've seen how the Lord speaks of this subject, good versus evil, and contrasts the two in several places. Last time we were looking at Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll read verses 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, let's look at verse 13 a little bit before we move into verse 14 and this phrase of discerning good and evil. And God here is indicating that everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That would be in the scripture, in the Bible. For the righteousness is Christ, so it's basically saying unskillful in the word of Christ. And Christ is the Word made flesh. He is the embodiment of the scriptures. And therefore, God is saying someone who is using milk, is drinking milk, is unskillful in the Bible, for he is a babe. Now, this verse really goes along with what we read in 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, in the first three verses in that chapter, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" There God defines what carnal is. It is walking as men. It is being like the world. It is being really in an unsaved condition. And so here the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, is moved to say, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat because you were not able to bear it." And this indicates that to be fed with milk, to be kept on that kind of a diet and not to progress and move on to meat is a very unhealthy thing. It's indicative of someone who is not maturing spiritually. They are not growing in Christ, in grace, in the knowledge of God. They are stagnant. They're remaining in the place they were when they first heard the gospel, and they are not continuing to learn the truths of the Bible. And actually, they may not even have any truths that they understand at all. Well, why would God use this picture of a babe, a baby who is being fed with milk and not able to move on to meat? Well, just think about it. It's fine for a baby when they're a newborn to be fed with milk. Actually, you must feed them with milk. They cannot take meat in the early stages of their life. But as a baby develops, you slowly give it more and more solid foods until it can eat meat. And this is natural. This is a good thing in the physical realm for a child to develop and to grow up and mature physically. But, well, what if you had a baby in the physical world, your child who always wanted milk? The baby wanted a bottle when it's two. That's okay. But it insists on getting the bottle when it's five, and it wants to stay on the bottle when it's 10, and wants to maintain the bottle when it's 25 and 30 and so on? Well, that would be evidence that there's something wrong, something seriously wrong. They don't want to grow up, and that's not a good thing in the physical world. You must grow up. Likewise, in spiritual matters, some people, they say, well, all I'm interested in is Christ as Savior, and I want to focus on the cross, and I don't want to hear anything else about doctrine, and I don't want to learn anything else. It just seems to lead to contention, and I don't want to get involved in any of that. Just tell me the basics. Oh, that's all I want to know. And that's fine for a newborn. That's fine for someone who's new in the faith. They must learn the basics. They have to learn the foundations of the gospel. However, what if they're continuing to hold that position after a period of time? God is saying, no, you must grow. You must develop. You must mature. And you must be fed with meat if you are to be a healthy child of God, a healthy believer. You must feed upon spiritual things. And the Lord Jesus Christ is here to nourish you, to feed you. He will feed his sheep. The child of God never goes hungry in the spiritual realm. God always feeds his people. They always are nourished plentifully and full of spiritual fatness. God takes care of his people. But someone insists, no, I don't want anything to do with a timeline of history. I don't want to learn these new doctrines. I don't want to get involved in checking things out concerning Christ being slain before the foundation of the world, or annihilation, or the end of the church age. No, I'm going to keep the basics, and the basics tell me go to church every Sunday. And that's all. That's it. Well, you can see the danger of holding on to milk and insisting on remaining a babe and resisting growth and meat of the word. Especially, we're living at a time when the Lord has opened up the scriptures to reveal a great deal of new information, to the point where he indicates in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 8, he says in verse 8, for finding fault with them, this is referring to the first and second covenant, he saith, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So God is indicating he has a plan to open up the scriptures where he will not add to the Bible, to the written word, but he will greatly add to the understanding of his people concerning the day of judgment. Oh, no, the church insisted. No man knows the day or hour. Did they take the time to search diligently the Bible, to compare scripture with scripture, to see how God has worked in previous generations and previous periods of biblical history, to see what he did concerning judgments and his people? Did they take the time to check and see that before the flood, God forewarned Noah and told him the exact day the flood would occur, 7 days in advance? Did they take the time to see that God visited Sodom to forewarn Lot so he could escape with some of his family and escape the judgment that fell upon the city? Did they take the time to examine Jonah being sent to Nineveh to give a precise timetable of an impending destruction if the Ninevites did not turn and repent? Did they take the time to examine statements where the Lord indicates that he'll do nothing but first revealeth his secret to his servants the prophets? Or did they read carefully 1 Thessalonians 5, where God indicates that his people will not be in darkness or asleep, so that Christ's coming will take them as a thief? Or did they read the verse in the book of Revelation where it says in Revelation 3, in the last part of verse 3, "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee," indicating that it is only when one does not watch that Christ comes as a thief. And the implication is when a believer, a true child of God, does watch, he will not come as a thief. And the answer is no. No, the church did not search out these things. They did not look at biblical precedent. They did not look at other scriptures where the Lord indicates that a wise man, a true child of God, will discern time and judgment. Or in Daniel 12, that the wise will understand in the context of the end, but the wicked will not understand. They did not carefully examine these things, and in so doing, they were behaving themselves as a babe in Christ, as carnal, as just casually, superficially taking a verse of Scripture, which we're never permitted to do. We're never to think we can just simply read a Scripture and obviously we know what it means. Clearly, the plain meaning is no man knows a day or hour. You can't do that with any part of the Bible. If you do, you're bound to get into serious trouble and head down the wrong road. And certainly they did, because they did not take action. They did not heed the kind and good warning of God to them that the sword of his judgment was approaching, that the door to heaven was shutting. And therefore, as a result, they remained in their churches and congregations and were finally bundled as tares, only left for the burning. That's all that their simplicity in doctrine got them. And so God would have us not to be babes in these things, not to be children in understanding, as he told us in 1 Corinthians 14, in malice be children in evil things, but in understanding in the things of God in the Bible, we are to be men. We are to come to perfection, to arrive at full age, and to grow up in spiritual matters until we attain to the stature of the fullness of the measure of the body of Christ. This is what the Lord would have us to do. Well, going back to Hebrews 5, it goes on to say in verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And we talked a little bit about this in our last study. I use the analogy of physical exercise, and we get that picture. I think we all understand if we don't use our body, if we're not active, that it is harmful to us, and it can lead to danger physically. We can become ill. And so it's better if we develop some sort of physical exercise routine. Walking is good, especially as we get older. We can just take a daily walk, and this is a very good thing for our physical body because we are using it. We're not just sitting around all day long, and the muscles are mainly unused, but we're walking, and so all the muscles of the body are being utilized, and through use, they are maintained, and they're kept in better condition. Well, there is also spiritual being out of shape, I guess we could say, to be flabby in a spiritual sense, if we're not reading the Bible. Now, let's just talk about a true believer, the elect, because it's too late. It's far beyond the time for someone who's not a true believer and not one of God's elect. God is feeding sheep. He's not feeding goats. The day of salvation has come to a close. God is concerned with his people. Of course, we don't know who they are. We don't know who did become saved before the door shut, and we have hope for everyone to some degree or another, and we can pray for everyone that the Lord, having had mercy, might have mercy, or we can pray that the cup might pass from this person or that person. So we're not going to judge anyone, but the fact is that God has saved all of his elect, and those are the ones that are being addressed, and we address all because we don't know who they are. But let's say there is someone who is saved. He is one of God's elect. God did apply salvation. He did redeem him prior to May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day came. And yet this individual is not regularly, consistently feeding on the Word of God. He's not reading the Bible. He's not spending time in the Bible. Well, one thing's for sure. If we're not spending time in the Bible, if we're not thinking about it, dwelling on it, meditating upon it, and if it's not in our thoughts, neither is God. God is not in all of our thoughts. Then we're going to be spending that time on other things. Things of the world, that's guaranteed. And things of the world, pretty much, it's hard to find things that aren't corrupted somehow or tainted by sin or just flat out evil in this world. And so it's pretty certain that an individual not thinking about the Word of God, not contemplating the Scripture, will be thinking about evil things. He will not be following the direction of Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, think on these things, good and just and honest things and so on. He'll be thinking on things that are evil, that are unjust, that are not pure but unholy. He'll be thinking on things that are dishonest, all the things that are contrary to Philippians 4, verse 8, not things that are praiseworthy, but things rather that are damnable. These are the things that the mind of that person will be dwelling on. Is it possible for a child of God to do this? Yes, especially as God has saved many individuals who are relatively babes in Christ, and they have not yet grown in the faith and matured to any degree. So they could be definitely caught up in old thought patterns, in old habits, and in old ways of doing things the way they've always done them. And they may not even be aware as yet that they are a true believer. But here is what the Lord would have all of us to do. It is to spend time in the Bible, not 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day will probably get you 15 minutes of peace a day, and not much more. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Cleave to that which is good. Love the good. Seek the good. We are to go after that which is good to the same degree as we have sought that which is evil. And just look at how much time we can waste spending with evil things. Isn't it easy? Isn't it simple to watch a show that's 2 hours or 3 hours, to read a book. Some people can pick up a novel, and, you know, what do novels deal with? Vampires and monsters and evil things, or gangster stories, evil things, or police accounts of corrupt cops, evil things. We pick up a novel, and I remember when I was a teenager, I would read a book. I would get a fictional book and spend days with it, hours in a day, depending on the length of the novel, and just read and read and read. While I ate my meal, I would have the novel there, just eating as I read, and then going to bed, laying down, reading, spending days. And when I was done that novel, I might get another novel. That these are the things that people do in the world. And it's funny, some of these same people who might spend all day Sunday, beginning with the early NFL talk shows, and I used to be involved a lot with this when I was young too. You get up early, especially when your team is playing, and you want to catch everything they're saying about the game. You get up at 10, the game finally starts at 1, lasts for 3 hours, it's over at 4, maybe you grab something to eat, and then now today you're looking to watch the evening game. So from 10 in the morning till 10 or 11 at night, you spent on football. And yet the believer, the child of God, is supposed to be the crazy one, because we want to read the Bible for a couple hours a day. And yet, you see, people of the world immerse themselves. They jump in full force into evil things. And certainly when a game is played on Sunday, God's holy day, there's nothing good about that game. It's nothing but wickedness. There's nothing wrong with the game itself, but in playing it on the Lord's day, they have turned that event into a wicked thing, into a place that has set itself up against God, because it's God's holy day. It set itself up in contrast, as an option, as if there is an option. There really isn't, but the world has set it up as an alternative to doing that which is right and good on Sunday. This is something they would have us to do. Here, occupy your time. Spend your day feeding upon touchdowns and field goals and first downs, rather than occupying your time in the scriptures. This is what the world would have us to do. And by the way, the world reaps its fruit. It will benefit to the degree that it put into the Lord's day. And when the next week comes around, if the time of God's day you spent in sports or in TV or in other things, well, you're not going to be prepared. You're not going to be strengthened with his might in your soul. You're going to be weak. You're going to be troubled in mind. You're going to be anxious and fearful, and all the things that Philippians 4 talks about. And maybe you'll go to God, and when these things develop during the week, and you'll pray, "Oh Lord, help me. I'm so nervous. I'm so anxious. I'm so afraid. And let me cast this care on you." And you do, and you do, and you feel better. And then comes Sunday again, and you go right back to the things you were doing. And the same things that will not help your anxiety, will not help your situation at all. Rather than doing that which is right and good, and that which will help, to take the Bible and to sit down quietly somewhere and to read peacefully and carefully, and read consciously, thinking of the words, what is God saying in this verse? And then checking it out through a concordance, or however you can do that, and comparing scripture with scripture, and just notice the difference. Notice how much of a great benefit it would be if we'd spent our Sundays even just that one day. It would certainly help a great deal the rest of the week if we did spend our time in that which is good and not that which is evil.